By the way, next week's good week to invite somebody to church who normally wouldn't come because of the really great music to praise God that the choir is practicing and all the message involved in that. And then I think the following week, children will be singing, so that's another nice time, and then a meal afterwards. So, everybody I know likes music and food. So music and food, and then, you know, obviously gathering for to honor Jesus. So take good opportunity of that, if you would, please. Here in 1 John chapter 4, John's steering us away from false teaching and back to the Son of God, Jesus. And we're all susceptible to false teaching or teaching that is untrue, false prophets, and so forth. Just thought of two right off the bat that was influenced by people around me, and I started to think that way when I was a young Christian. One would simply be this, which would be a false teaching. All religions basically teach the same thing. Okay, you might have said that. You probably heard that, I'm sure. All religions basically teach the same thing. If you go to Forbes Hospital and get on the floor of the cafeteria, you walk down the hall, there'll be a really nicely painted mural on the side of the wall. And at one point in the mural, there's a big circle, quite large, probably as large as the screen here. Well, about half the size. And it's a big circle. And in one part, there's a cross. Another part, there's something representing Jewish rabbinical things. Another one, Hinduism. Another one, you know, whatever. All around the clock, different faiths, the messages. All religions are basically the same. And, of course, the Bible doesn't teach that. If we were to, we could say this in a way of building a bridge to somebody about that false teaching. For example, if the communion table and everything on the communion table represented the truth of God as he would reveal himself to us, of course, it not, doesn't do him justice, but just for illustration's sake, and we took this piece of paper and said, yes, I'll put this piece of paper on the very corner of a communion table, and this is what all religions do have in common. Don't murder? Sure. Don't steal? Sure. There's a God? Sure. This much. This much we have in common. The rest, it's all new, coming from God himself, Jesus, and the Bible. The light of the world, Jesus, the candles. The work of Jesus, communion. All these other faiths, they would say, no, no, no. And we would say, but this is from the Lord. So all religions are not the same. Just a way for you to converse with somebody who might say that, and you say it in a loving manner, you know, with respect to the person, but to honor the truth. So that's one false teaching, even back then, John was steering people away from. The other one would be, my opinion about God is equally as valid as yours. Okay. Now, everybody is thankful to have an opinion. And in our country, you can express your opinion and nobody will, you know, hit you over the head for it, hopefully. But obviously, our opinion on something doesn't make it true or not true. My opinion about the communion table could be, that is a wonderful, fantastic picnic table. To me, that's a picnic table. That's a wonderful picnic table. And you all would say, oh no, that came from the Bible, where God said in his Bible, Jesus said, when you take bread and cup, remember me. Do this remembering me. So it's a table to remember and honor Jesus. This is not my picnic table for my hamburger and, you know, corn on the cob. So people's opinions are not equally valid. Some opinions connect with the truth and some opinions are just inside the head of the speaker. So to move away from false teaching and to say Jesus is the light of the world, the truth, and the life. So that's John's goal. And he had some assurances of salvation I want to mention in passing as a review. One way to know that you've received the truth and put your trust in Christ, that you say that he is the Son of God, who became a man. That's, again, that's the big part of the table that all religions don't say, but the Bible does say. He is God who became a man. We hear it in the Christmas song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Veiled in flesh, here comes Jesus as a man, the Godhead see, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel, God came to be with us. No other faith is going to sing that or say that or believe that. But to know Christ is to know that truth. So to be a real believer, you say Jesus is God, the Son, came as a man. Second thing to know you're a true believer, we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments, that your heart is drawn like a magnet to the wonderful commandments of God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Your heart beats with that. The Bible doesn't say, love your job with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your dog with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Even your family. Love your family like God loves you, but not with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You'll drive them nuts. Okay. They were not meant to satisfy you like God would. So, your heart is drawn like a magnet to the commandments of God. This is how we know we have come to know Him, that we keep His commandments. And the third test of whether you're really a believer or not, we know we have come to know Him because we have love for our brothers and sisters. As much as your heart is drawn toward obeying God, your heart is drawn toward loving the people around you. You know, even if you grew up not loving, love is a strange, thing to come to know, but when you see the love of God and we are impacted by that, we pass it on. So John's moving us back to Christ, taking us away from false teaching. And here's some that we should know in our hearts and what John was dealing with in 1 John, prophets that were not true. Okay, the biggest threat back then and probably still today, and also was to Israel in the Old Testament, was syncretism, which simply said this: you can believe in one God, that's good. Believe in God, but make sure you believe just the same in these other things too. It's like a cafeteria Christianity. I'll take the Lord, I'll take Muhammad, I'll take living for me, I'll take living for the weekend, I'll take living for stuff, and Jesus too. And John says, this, you can't do this. Jesus puts the other things under His feet. So it's a mixture of beliefs based on my preferences. We don't want to do that. We want to say who Jesus is and what He says in His good book. Back then, the mixture was, Jesus is great, you should believe in Him, but you should have higher knowledge too. And if you don't have a higher knowledge, you're going to be missing out. How could you miss out if you have Jesus? You're not going to miss out on anything. Okay. Second, Jesus and super-duper experiences. A lot of Christians end up drifting toward this syncretism. Jesus is fantastic, but unless I have a super-duper experience, I'm somehow not going to be satisfied. I would say this in my relationships with people. When people look for satisfaction and higher knowledge and super-duper experiences, it's then that they get full of unrest, discontented, unfulfilled. Nobody ever got unfulfilled or discontented by just saying, I'll take Jesus as Lord of all. Because when you start to add the other stuff, that's when unfulfillment, dissatisfaction takes place. Okay, and it can happen on a regular basis. But the Lord can, again, steer us back to Himself. In history, of course, it was God and the golden calf that the Israelites were interested in. All of us have golden calves. God has to show us which one starts to try to replace Him. Okay, it could be something in religion, could be something in our lives. Jesus and Baal. Baal was nature. If we just do the right thing, it will not rain. You know, it'll snow just right on Christmas Eve here. And this would make, you know, this is Christmas. Light snow on Christmas Eve. Thanks for being shallow, but no, it's Jesus for Christmas. Okay. For the early Christians, the Roman government said, you can believe in Jesus all you want. Just so you say, Jesus is Lord and Caesar is Lord. Okay? Rome, allegiance to him. The whole governing thing, you want to give your heart to that, not just to Jesus. And ironically, which nations of the world worship its own nation almost as God? If you think in the news, you'll be able to come up. It's North Korea. They worship their nation. It's Iran, because it represents a whole faith of Islam. It's China. You know, if you say anything against China, trying to correct China, to jail you go. Okay, in our country, which is very blessed, we can say that we're blessed by being in the nation God sent us to, but we're never supposed to worship the nation. Also, unless you want to look like North Korea. You know, we're used to that. No. No, you worship Jesus. And you thank God for the nation. So watch the combo there. The adding to the Lord. Jesus in yourself, Jesus in your obedience, Jesus in your devotion begins to devalue him and what he did for us on the cross. And John says, hey, remember that Jesus came as God's son. He's the Messiah and your contentment is in him. He's Lord of all. From the sparrows to the people, to the family, to the church, to the work, to the education, to what you have, to the arts, and on you go. Not a square inch of anything you could see or think of that Jesus is not Lord of. And again, he would give us that satisfaction. If I take his blessings, got to have my bird, God and my bird, I will become dissatisfied. Got to have God and church like I like it. I'll become dissatisfied. Got to have God and worship like I like it. I'll become dissatisfied. But if I have Jesus, nobody ever said I was kind of dissatisfied with him. You know, because no one's ever been who actually put their trust in the Lord. So to the Lord of all, John's saying to the folks, don't do cafeteria. Don't add to the Lord, but instead rejoice in who he is. Here's some not true beliefs that we all face, and try to sum it up here with some things that can help in our conversations with people. For somebody who just worships stuff, you can say, you know that car you love? God made everything in that car. You know, from the rubber tires to the fuel, to the electric, you know, man put it together, but God made all the raw material. So he owns everything. What do you think of that, Mr. Car Lover? He says, maybe I better love the Lord first. Okay, materialism. Secularism. This is God's stuff. Out there is the public realm. God is not out there. Okay, keep them out of there. God says, how can you keep me out of there? I'm there before secularism shows up. So you ask the secular person, when I pray, all the time in church, and I pray, you know, all over the place, because God's everywhere. You can't possibly have a secular moment in your life, except that when you're ignoring God, that's it. So you share about Jesus being fully there to the person who has a secular God. Atheist, there's no God. I think to gently share with an atheist person, you know, we if I don't believe in God, I have two problems. Death is a problem. Who's going to conquer death for me? Atheist has no answer to that. Also, without God, ethics, morality, and meaning don't exist. Because all you have is a bunch of dots on a piece of paper with no infinite reference point who Jesus is the center of everything. So you just share with your atheist friend or family member, look, Jesus said he was the life. And you know that thing is going to happen to you in about 50 years when you die? He has everything to do about solving that problem. He said he was the resurrection and the life. So you share some good news to move the false teaching out of the person's life. Agnosticism, you can know Jesus as the truth. Hinduism, there's Hindus in the community here that I've met. And one helpful thing that I learned by mistake is to not mention church when you're talking to a Hindu person. If you mention church, I mean, it is like mentioning I have a poisonous snake in my pocket, you know. I mean, it literally went like this in two or three responses. But if you communicate, you want to share something with them like a daily bread, this is about God. People who love God like to read this. You're being honest. They might be interested. Or if you talk about Jesus, I just wanted to invite you to something that honors Jesus. A bunch of singers are going to sing about him. Would you be interested? You know. Jesus. Yeah, there's some respect for Jesus in Hinduism. So if you say Jesus is all good, there's no evil in him, may be interested. Move away from false teaching to the Lord. Same thing with Islam. You know, the news that hits the person in the Muslim faith is that forgiveness can be received as a gift, and so can heaven. Because they're left wondering, will Allah destroy me or forgive me? Will Allah take me to heaven or send me to hell? That's all left with a coin toss. But God says, I'll save you now. Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, again, the gift of eternal life. And one thing you could share with anybody going in false teaching, whether it's a Christian brother or sister, which we're susceptible to, or somebody in the community, look, I respect you, but I disagree with your thinking. Okay. If you want to be more combative, that's good. You know, I tell the people who like to be more combative, I think you're called to Afghanistan to be a missionary. You can be as combative as you want. You'll last about 2 days as a missionary. You won't be a very good one. But the missionaries, see, they have to start with some kind of, you're created in God's image. Jesus died for you and you don't know it. I respect you, but I disagree with your thinking. Your thinking is going to hurt you and everybody around you. And this is what happened to me. Jesus is alive. I asked him to come into my life and he did. And I didn't know forgiveness, now I know forgiveness. I didn't have meaning, and now I have meaning. And this is not just something that he didn't just happen to me. This has been going on for 2,000 years, and even before that. So you could share, just like John here, you know, he's trying to help people. Stay away from the cafeteria Christianity. And John even goes, in closing, further to say this, look, he says, if people don't listen to this, they are not listening to God. And John just wasn't like a ego trip guy, but he was saying, look, I was a follower of Jesus. Jesus gave me the apostolic truth. So if you listen to me, you're pretty much listening to the Bible. If you listen to the Bible, you're listening to God. And it points them to, you know, a truth that they can know. It's a wonderful set you free kind of book. So, as John would say, watch out for keep testing the spirits. Not everything is from God, but look for the exalting of Jesus, greater than anything in the world. Greater than, you know, he'll be greater in you than anything in the world. And what a wonderful Savior to celebrate, to ask into our hearts if we haven't, and to follow all the way to heaven.